You're given a smartphone as part of your benefits package, okay? And at no point is anybody yet going, you might struggle to get some balance and control as an individual, but actually you might struggle to get some balance and control because as your employer, we don't have any idea of the negative impact this is having on us. So we're just willy-nilly firing stuff off to you and expecting you to respond and not encouraging you to have breaks, etc. Everybody needs this. And it's the elephant in the room. And it's a fact that it's stressing people out.
Hello and welcome to Digital Mindfulness. I'm your host, Lawrence Ampofo, and I'm joined on the show today by the co-founder of Shine Offline, Laura Willis. Shine Offline helps some of the biggest companies in the world to become more productive and improve the relationships within their teams by examining their relationships with digital technology. But before we kick off today's show, I want to welcome you to Digital Mindfulness. For over 3 years now, we've brought you the best teachers and thought leaders from around the world to help you understand what time well spent digital experiences actually look like in your own lives. If you're new to our show, then the best place to find out much more about us is to head to the website digitalmindfulness.net, where you'll find some required listening shows where we discuss everything with first-class thought leaders, from digital wellness to habit building, cyberbullying, becoming more focused, and much, much more. So now enjoy this show with Laura Willis. Hi, Laura. Thanks so much for being on Digital Mindfulness with us today. It's a real pleasure to have you on the show. And I'm really looking forward to sharing with the audience much more about not only Shine Offline, but the fantastic work that you're doing with really high profile clients, but also the effects that you're having on people's teams, particularly when having them think about their relationships with technology. So welcome.
Thank you, Lawrence. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So Laura, tell us a little bit about yourself and particularly how you came to be working in this area with Shine Offline. What was the real thing, the real moment that drew you to be working on people's relationships with technology?
Well, looking back now, I always had a pretty dysfunctional relationship with my inbox. And then whenever I got a smartphone, I was a freelance PR marketing consultant. When I got a smartphone, it was obviously amazing because it gave me loads of flexibility. But I was connected to it a lot of the time. And looking back, this had been an issue for me. And I was overwhelmed. I suffered from panic attacks and really bad sleep. When my daughter was born, I went back to work very, very quickly, and I became incredibly overwhelmed. And I was so distracted and disconnected from everything because I would be trying to give her her lunch while responding to a client email or pushing her on the swing while dealing with an inquiry, whatever it was. And I really, when she was about 4 or 5 months old, no, it wasn't. I went back to work when she was four months old. It was probably when she was about 8 or 9 months old. I had what I would call a breakdown. I had a nervous breakdown because I just couldn't cope. And I really struggled with balance and the juggling of life. And I went to the doctor and he referred me for some CBT, but I mentioned that I'd practiced mindfulness in the past. I'd done an 8-week course and I'd found it really helpful. This had been a few years prior. And he asked me to revisit that because he said the benefits are really comparable to CBT. So I started to meditate regularly and that gave me a break from my phone, which was brilliant because it gave me a chance to put it down for 10 or 15 minutes every day. But it also gave me a huge sense of headspace and pause and clarity. And I started to really recognize in those moments of quiet that it was the connectivity and the way I was using this device that was causing me an awful lot of my stresses. So because I got to such a dark place, I knew that I had to do something about it. So I started to try and experiment with how I was using it and I made some changes. And I probably spent about 6 months experimenting with this stuff. And things eventually got better and it got to a point where the tech was definitely enhancing my life rather than overwhelming me. I'd been interested in the whole digital detox thing for a long time. I'd read a number of articles and I'd watched a documentary and Now I could see that by having a healthier relationship with this stuff that my life had improved. It wasn't a detox. It was a bit different. It was looking at it and examining it and improving it for myself, coming into contact with it. And when I started to talk to people about what I was doing, everybody wanted to talk about this topic. I had family members who were burning out because they couldn't turn their work email off at the weekends. I had a friend whose husband was never off his phone and it was really affecting their marriage. Mm-hmm. Other people talking to me about their children and not knowing how to get some balance around, A, how they use their tech in front of their kids, but also what their children should be doing and put some boundaries in place for them. And then I had a light bulb moment on a train, basically, where I was surrounded by everybody on their device and I was the one looking out the window, the big weirdo looking out the window. And then it really struck me that, yeah, there's a lot of people talking about this and there's a lot of people writing about it, a lot of media coverage, a lot of research coming out, but no one's actually doing anything. That was my sense back then. And I really felt that there was a need for people to have the opportunity to talk about this. Because it's something that is a massive part of all of our lives, and yet at no point have we been given the chance to really examine it. So that was when the idea came that we should start to go out and create an opportunity for people to start to question their relationships with their technology. And that's what we do, and we launched in December 2015. And we did our first workshop in May 2016. So it's our 2-year anniversary. And the business is just booming. We're busy. We're working with all sorts of companies, large companies, small companies, all different sectors. And what we're doing is having a massive impact on people's lives, which is what I wanted to do. I wanted to empower people to recognize that by understanding your relationship with your device, you can make some improvements so that you are in control and you don't feel like you have no space in your day and it's taken over your life. So it's been a really, and one important point is I had a baby in the middle of all of this. So my son will be 2 in July. So I was pregnant for the first half of the getting us started, which was interesting, but it's been good. And it's a pleasure to be working in this sector because it's just so exciting and there's so much brilliant stuff happening all the time.
I think what you just mentioned there is a really important point, that our personal lives and our professional lives often just blend into one, particularly because we tend to use the same devices for both. So it's really easy to get our work and our personal emails or notifications on the same device. And I think that this leads to some of the problems you just described.
Yeah, and actually, I would say I've had a number of clients who have been quite reticent to get us in because they've been afraid. This is very small, let's say creative agencies, because they've been afraid of the messaging being around, don't respond to your emails, turn off your phone. And maybe their younger members of staff, their more junior members of staff, sort of not being as engaged at work. And once they hear the messaging and understand the impact that all of this is having on us, the change is quite phenomenal. We're like CEOs, MDs of small, really successful companies coming up to me and saying, only now do I realize I have a problem. I can't remember the last time I had a holiday. My inbox runs my day. I never turn my phone off. I look at my phone before I get out of bed in the morning. Oh my God, I'm really stressed and I haven't realized it until you gave me the chance to start to think about this. And for me, only yesterday I was doing a workshop. And there was somebody there from a small digital agency talking about this whole thing about being self-employed and having to service your clients and be constantly on and constantly contactable. And I would say, no, let's flip it. If you want to be a business for the future, if you want to innovate and create and service people and nourish relationships, etc., if you want to be your best, you've got to have a break. You cannot be connected 24/7 in order to be your best self at work and at home. It's a fact. And that's why people are burning out. And I throw that out there. And there's a massively disruptive element to this, because this is the way people have been living and working for a long time now. You know, smartphone came out 2007. This has been going on for 10, 11 years. No, guys, let's take a minute and let's stop and let's slow down and let's remember that we're human. Let's remember that we need to freaking have a break. We need to sleep. We need to connect with our loved ones. We need to eat our lunch and taste our food. We need to move our bodies. No, we don't need to work all the time. And if we do work all the time, we're all going to have a nervous breakdown, which is what happened to me. So that message, once I articulate it to people, it really resonates, because I think if you are self-employed and the wolf's at the door, which is what was happening with me, you know, God, if I don't respond straight away, I'm not going to have any money and then we can't pay the mortgage and blah, 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 blah. No, the reality is everybody needs to slow down, because once you get yourself into that more balanced and controlled place and you're not overwhelmed, then you can really live your life and do your best work and be your best self, you know. And I am on my soapbox, but God, don't get me started.
So, Laura, I'm interested to know, how exactly then do you work with clients to help them have a better understanding of their relationships with technology? I'm particularly interested because I know everything that we're talking about now has come from your own experience and you looking to your own relationship with technology and just how far that's helped you both, you know, psychologically and physiologically. So I'm wondering how, when you go to these companies that might have their own culture and their own expectations for employees, particularly on how quickly people are supposed to respond to emails or the relationships they're meant to have with clients, etc., how then do you go in and help people to see their relationships with technology, but also how to change slightly that internal culture?
Well, it's really it's a workshop-based program that we run. And the first workshop is really to get people thinking about this stuff, because people don't. They're on autopilot and they're on the hamster wheel. So it's a cogs turning, bringing a bit of consciousness. Why does the world look like this? Why are you so connected and hooked to your device? What impact is it having on your personal professional life? Okay, so what could you start to do to bring some consciousness around how you use it, remove that autopilot? We talk about mindfulness, because that was a massive part for me, part of my recovery, and bringing that clarity and consciousness into my behavior. And we all know the correlation between the connectivity and the distraction and the need to practice mindfulness. And then we talk about tangible tools and tips, simple things that people can do. We share maybe 8 little tiny things, like get yourself an alarm clock, remove the temptation of being on first thing in the morning, because that sets the tone for your day. If you're checking your inbox in bed, it puts you in a bad mood potentially, blah, blah, blah. We then action people to come up with 1 or 2 small changes they could make in the next week or two, and who they're going to tell, to give themselves a little bit of accountability. And then we send them off, and we support them with a couple of aftercare emails. One like a meditation to listen to, a really good TED talk, something to read, a little activity to re-engage them on the whole topic. And then we bring them back about 6 weeks later, because at this point they've now actually started to examine this stuff for themselves in their lives and really bring some consciousness to it. Okay, guys, what worked, what didn't? What were the real highs? What did you really see improve in your life? And what were the struggles? What were the things that you found were your sticking points? Okay, how can we start to address those and drill down into what are the specific problems that we're facing, which is across the board, is the same. You know, it's the same things that people struggle with, and much more practical tips, so that we can then send them off with a plan for themselves as to how they can really embed this behavioural change moving forward. So that's the sort of workshop format. But what's happened in the past sort of 12 months, I'd say, is I've spoken at a lot of conferences where you've got like heads of businesses, you know, either HR directors or business leaders within large companies, or sales heads or CEOs of smaller companies hearing the message, the Shine Offline message. We've then ended up getting engaged for a very specific business reason. So, for example, we've had a couple of clients who've come to us to say, having heard the message and appreciate the need for focus and clarity of thought at work, so that, for example, our sales floor can be on it. We need to get you in to workshop with them, because we know that they're distracted. They're looking at social media on their breaks. It's putting them in a bad mood. They're checking their phones while they're on calls. They're making mistakes. So very, very specific business. It's not just about well-being. It's about improving people's performance at work. You know, well-being obviously has a massive correlation with performance, but the whole clarity, focus, productivity, deep work, all that sort of stuff, then the relationship development side of things. Also, we've had agency people from creative agencies coming to us. There's obviously a lot of millennials in the creative agency space saying, okay, this whole innovation, you know, the lack of space and pause, the lack of daydreaming, the lack of boredom, as a result, the lack of creativity and innovation and light bulbs. Our millennial workforce coming through, they just don't get the fact that they need these breaks. So, and we can see that the creativity is going down and people can't brainstorm and just thinking outside the box, it doesn't happen anymore. So again, a very specific reason why that company wants us in. And for me, that's so exciting because initially this was about individual empowerment. Myself and my business partner, Anna, what we wanted to do was we wanted to go out and let people see that you can change this for yourself. And a lot of people said, oh, well, companies won't necessarily want this, especially things like professional services, because, you know, they want to work their people to the bone. And that's the nature of the culture of business there. But quite quickly, it has become about cultural change, organizational change, because we all know there is no point empowering Joe to have a healthy relationship with his device. Okay, Joe, by all means, can make sure that he turns off his notifications, that he only goes into Facebook a couple of times a day if it makes him feel rubbish, that he gets an alarm clock, that he doesn't turn his work email on until he's on the commute. There are things that Joe can do. But if Joe has a line manager who has no understanding of the importance of balance and control in relation to this stuff and is firing off emails at night and is interrupting Joe's lunch break and it's not encouraging people to have that space and downtime, then Joe can only take it so far. So we need the businesses to start to come in from board level, and that's happening. And for me, that's where we're going to make a massive change, because we can change habits to change culture, but we need to change those habits at that top level.
You know, Laura, that was fascinating just listening to you. And my next question to you was going to be, what types of businesses need to have this counsel, you know, need to have this kind of service that you're offering? But I think a better question is, when is the point at which businesses actually reach out to you and say, okay, we've taken a look at everything and we know our employees and we're at the point now at which we need to have this discussion and make meaningful changes inside our organization? When does that point tend to be? Are there some kind of trend? Are there some trends that you can perhaps share with the audience of when businesses are actually reaching out to you?
I think it's a bit of both. You know, there's obviously been a massive increase in the whole wellbeing thing, and we get a lot of approaches for companies who are doing wellbeing weeks and wellbeing programs who want to, you know, bring this topic because it's getting so much traction at the moment now in the media coverage and stuff. But, you know, also people coming to us from a personal point of view. I'm doing a keynote on Monday in central London for a big financial services company. And I had a chat with the lady who booked us last week. And she told me that the reason why she wanted to do this was because her daughter had drawn a picture of the family. And in the family, the mum was stick mum with the long hair with something in her hand. And she said, I just thought, I hope that isn't a glass of wine. And it was a phone. And this lady then wrote a blog about this, what this did to her emotionally. And the blog got an awful lot of engagement. So then it was like, right, we need to actually, there's an interest here. There's a thirst for this. Let's do something. And we're obviously available to go in and start to get people thinking about this stuff. So there's definitely a personal thing going on. I think the message resonates because, you know, I would probably put my hand on my heart and say I can stand up in a room where every person owns a smartphone and every person will have some struggle with it to some degree. Nobody has perfect balance in relationship to their digital technology. I would, because I don't, you know, this is I would call it a bit of a battle for me. You know, I have done what I can within boundaries that I've made. I've come off social media. I wear a watch so I don't have to look at my phone to check the time. I have a child who wakes up far too early. I would get an alarm clock, but I don't need to. You know, there are things that I have done, but at the end of the day, I have to use email. And email's always been my pull. So I have to create some boundaries and rules for myself. But oh my God, it still stresses me out. And the adrenaline and the heart racing and the, all of that is there for me. And this is like a marriage. I love my husband dearly. He's the best man I've ever known. But he does my head in sometimes. And we have to work on that. That's the reality of life. And this thing in my hand, I have a relationship with it. And it's really bloody complex. And everybody has. And some people, my husband again, is cool as a cucumber. And he does not struggle in the same way that I do. But there's still a level of vulnerability for him. And I think that when I go out and we go out and we speak to people and we workshop this and we talk about it, it resonates so strongly. So that's why we're just getting inquiries coming in from all sorts of reasons, for all sorts of angles. And long may it continue, Lawrence.
So Laura, when you do go into businesses, I'm very, very aware that the performances of employees and also their ability to be able to negotiate, say, upgrades or pay rises, etc., and upgrades to benefits, is everything now can be measured. And of course, those increases in benefits depend on improvements in those measurements. So employees are being constantly measured. And that's part of the culture, I believe, that also leads people to be constantly connected and to be constantly showing that they are good employees. So I'm interested then in the impact of your work on teams and on employees. How has it affected them, particularly in such a metrics and performance driven culture that we have in our companies? How has it really affected them?
That's a big question. Let me think. I'm going to try and break it down. So what we do is we go back and ask people what impact the learning's had on them. And what we're finding is we ask, are you using what you learnt? And this is now 4 weeks after the first workshop. Are you using what you learnt in the workshop? And 79% of people are using what they learnt. And are you sharing this with the people in your life? And 84% of people are sharing it with the people in their life. So people are taking what they're hearing and they're using it in their lives. And they're, you know, they're obviously empowered about the potential to make the change. And we also ask about whether they feel that their well-being, work-life balance, productivity, creativity, and relationships have improved. And again, they are improving. The two strongest are, well, it depends group to group, who you're working with and what sort of company it is and what age people are. You know, the demographics do have an impact. But the work-life balance and well-being figures are probably the highest, and the relationships probably the lowest out of all of those. Really tangible things that are happening. We've done quite a lot of work with they're a UK-based high street food retailer, place where you go get your coffee and croissant. And we did some workshopping with their operational leads, so the people who manage the regional managers for all the offices, all the shops all around the UK. There was about 80 of them. And after the first workshop, there was a lot of chat in one particular corner. And somebody came up to me and she said, we've just been talking there because I check the sales figures every Saturday morning on my phone. And I just chatted to my friend and he does the same. But at no point is anyone, we're not working on a Saturday because they're 9 to 5. And at no point has anyone told us to do that. But we now realise we're all doing it. But we've only talked about it because you've given us the chance to think about it. We're going to stop doing that. And then the operational director came over and joined in the conversation and said, yes, this is a problem. And now we're realising it. We're going to create a rule where people are not allowed to check because they need a break. They don't need to check. There's no reason to be. So there are very tangible things, changes that people are making. Then on the other side, this is happening much more frequently now, where we're going in initially to do a workshop where, say, somebody see me speak at a conference and they've booked me to go in and workshop with the team. But the impact that workshopping has had on them as a collective, where they then, it's hot. They want to talk about it all the time. They're changing how they use the meeting room. They're going screen-free in meetings. People are being very conscious about breaks. They're making lots of changes to their working day and stuff. They're then getting us back in and saying, right, we actually want to make this a formalized thing. Can you come in and start to really work with us about what the landscape of our tech usage is, the reality of it at the moment, what the behaviours and attitudes are of our people, so that we can start to work out what we need to do to make a change so that we are ensuring that our people are supported to have healthy and balanced relationships with their devices. And the outcome of that is then developing more of a long-term plan, of supported plan with some guidelines. Now, I wouldn't say we're not believers of the sort of one-size-fits-all thing where you must turn that off at that time and you must go out for that break at that time. It's more around the expectation. As a company, we expect you to have screen-free breaks throughout the day. We would encourage you to work with your email offline at points so that you can get focused. We do have screen-free meetings. We encourage you not to send emails after 7 o'clock. People are not, I think things like work weekends, people are a bit stronger at saying people are not allowed to send weekend emails. If it's an emergency, pick up the phone. So that stuff's happening where we're then, now we've got a couple in the pipeline, which we haven't actually started. The work is getting ready to go. We haven't actually started doing that yet, but you can see that obviously we're having an impact because people want to get us back in to go even deeper. And then, funny, actually, we'd gone in to do a workshop for a business. It was a food business, and we were invited back a few months later. And I was sitting having my lunch on a break because I was doing a number of workshops. And somebody came over and, oh, hi, Laura. And I'm like, hi, who the hell are you? How are you doing? Are you having a good day? And I'm like, yeah, do I know you? But yeah, I was in your other workshops when you were in before. Oh my God, it's been so brilliant. And this guy started to recall all the stuff he was doing and the changes he'd made and da, 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 da. And it's so wonderful to go back because you can see that people are making changes in their lives. And we need to get a bit hotter on recording the impacts. And we're actually looking into that at the moment. How can we really show the tangible results and the business benefits of what we're doing? But there's only so many hours in the day, Lawrence, you know?
I absolutely do know that, Laura. So what would you say then to any managers or business leaders listening to this who might have been contemplating doing work with you or doing work in this space with their employees, but maybe thinking that actually reevaluating our relationships with technology is kind of a nice to have. It's not really essential, and perhaps there are more important things that my team should be focusing on.
I think that is bleep bleep. I'm not going to swear. That is a crock of crap, to be honest, because as I've said before, pretty much everybody has a dysfunctional relationship to some degree. Every business needs this. You're given a smartphone as part of your benefits package. Okay? And at no point is anybody yet going, you might struggle to get some balance and control as an individual. But actually, you might struggle to get some balance and control because as your employer, we don't have any idea of the negative impact this is having on us. So we're just willy-nilly firing stuff off to you and expecting you to respond and not encouraging you to have breaks, etc. Everybody needs this. And it's the elephant in the room. And it's a fact that it's stressing people out. And it's a fact that, you know, law firms, there's another example. People, whenever we first launched, went, law firms won't look at you because their staff are paid by the hour. It's very high billing. They need to be working. They need to be seen to be contactable. And the law firms now want to work with us because that is an example of a sector who was burning out before the age of connectivity. They need it even more because their people feel that they need to be working all the time. So they find it even harder to switch off. I've sat in meetings with head of L&D for a massive global law firm who really wanted to engage us and got us in, but said to me, you know, I've got partners coming in to me saying, all I want to do is go out for dinner with my friend for 1 hour in the evening in town. And I can't even do that because I can't turn it off. So, you know, let's be honest. Suicide rates are on the up. Professional services, the burnout is huge. Ill mental health at work, it's massive. And what is one of the biggest problems for people? Okay, I get that financial stress is a big issue for people. Get people in to help them out with financial support. There are lots of issues. The caring responsibilities and the fact that women are in senior positions these days and the balance required when they're trying to be carers and workers, and that is all totally, totally happening. But this technology is multiplying everything by 100, because people cannot leave the office at the end of the day. And if you give somebody a BlackBerry or a smartphone as part of their benefits package, you might as well give them a Dunkin' Donuts membership card and not tell them maybe you only have one a week because you need it as part of a healthy, balanced diet. People need help, support, because it's the whole, we work with a huge UK organizing, I wouldn't even know how to describe what they are, but they're massive, and they've got three pillars of well-being. They surveyed their staff. The 11 pillars of being well were found from like the healthiest community in the world. They came up with this, and they surveyed the staff, and out of the 11, the three that were chosen were physical fitness, healthy balanced diet, and healthy tech management. And that is the reality. In order to live and survive in this day and age, you've got to have a healthy, balanced, sustainable relationship with your technology. And it's the innovative future businesses that are going to be looking at this. Dr. Narina Ramnakan says the businesses of the future are the businesses that are putting a sleep policy in place for their staff, because people's sleep is so poor these days. And there's a sleep toolkit now that's available in the UK that the government have approved, that we are in, are talking about the impact that tech has on your sleep. And in the same sense, businesses, innovative businesses who are looking to the future, who want their staff to flourish and grow and stay with them and not burn out and break down, are doing this stuff. And this is just, it's the way it's going. And anybody who wants to argue with me about that, you can call me, because I swear to God, it's a fact. And we are making a change, a positive change, for life, for love, for work, for everything, for humanity, you know? So, yeah, it's all happening.
So, Laura, for the people listening now, what would you say are just a few core things that they can do right now to really improve the quality of their relationships with their digital devices?
Two of the easiest things you can do is get an alarm clock, because 80% of people use the phone as their alarm. And that means that the vast majority of us are on our phone before we get out of bed. Catherine Price, who you know wrote the brilliant How to Break Up Your Phone, she and I had a Skype call the other week for a couple of hours, and I was telling her, she articulated something so beautifully that I've been struggling to do for the past couple of years. She talks about inviting Donald Trump, your boss, your ex-boyfriend, and half your mates into your bedroom before you go to sleep at night. If that's the last thing you do, you check your phone. It's the same thing if it's the first thing you do in the morning. And let's be honest, what we see in our inboxes and on our Instagram and in BBC News is not always joyful. So let's bring some consciousness to, if that makes you feel stressed, if you're not thinking, God, actually, that does stress me out a wee bit when I wake up, get it out of your bedroom. Get yourself an alarm clock. Choose when you're going to put it on. So that's very, very, and I think Shine Offline should be sponsored by an alarm clock company, but we haven't been approached it yet. The other very simple thing people can do is turn off their notifications. You know, all your apps are set to default notify you, and you can go in and turn that off. And I get people coming up to me, you know, following up saying, all I did was turn off my Facebook notifications and it changed my life. You know, the ping pulls you in. No wonder we're all suffering from continuous partial attention. Turn it off. And also, the apps that those apps that you don't really need, arguably the unnecessary ones or the ones that you feel you've got a bit of a hook on, take them off the first screen. Move them out of the way. You know, it's about creating physical barriers for yourself, because this stuff is seductive and manipulative and addictive and amazing. So they're two very, very simple things that don't cost a lot of money. Well, the alarm clock's really cheap. The notification thing's free, and it can make a massive change quite quickly.
So Laura, it's been great spending time with you today and finding out much more about what it is that you're doing. Where can people find out more about you and your work and connect with you?
So the website is shineoffline.com, and all the information's there. And then I'm Laura at shineoffline.com, and Anna is Anna at shineoffline.com. And we're on LinkedIn. So we look forward to hearing from people, and thank you so much for your time. It's awful when you see, when I meet people like you, I could sit all day and talk about this. Before God, once you get me started.
Oh, thank you very much. I feel exactly the same, Laura. But I want to thank you for spending time with us today and really sharing with us not only your wisdom, but your vision for Shine Offline, and particularly for sharing just the great benefits that companies and teams are experiencing when they're able to have that safe space to interrogate their behaviors and their relationships with digital devices. So thanks so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you, Lawrence.